Okay. We are holding on Tesvav Amud Aleph, the second line. We started discussing as follows. The Mishnah had told us that if a person makes a neder that he won't sleep or talk or walk, then all of those hareza below yachol kari, then the din of lo yachol, the din that he's not allowed to desecrate his word, applies to all of those. Which we're going to see in the Gemara what exactly the lashon of the neder was, because as we're going to see in a minute, a neder has to be on something tangible, and sleeping or sleeping or talking or whatever, that's something tangible. So we'll see in a moment what we're talking about. But first, we started with machlokas amiroi. Suppose a person says that whether that if I sleep tomorrow, then retroactively today, there was an issur, there was a neder on me sleeping. Or so he uses the expression koinam eini b'sheina, which is a valid neder because his eye is something tangible, it's something that exists right now, and therefore he's able to use a koinam, a neder, to asur it from sleeping. But he's saying like this. He's saying like this. He's saying like this. If I sleep tomorrow, I don't want. He's saying like this. There's today and there's tomorrow. I want to make a neder that if it should end up that I sleep tomorrow, then retroactively, I shouldn't have slept today. And if I did, then it will have been also with a neder. So he's saying,
he's not allowing himself to sleep today and tomorrow.
So it's not that he's not allowing himself to sleep today or tomorrow and tomorrow. He's saying, if I don't sleep tomorrow, then there will have been no problem with me sleeping today. But if I sleep tomorrow, then I don't want to have slept today. So it's a so the, there's a con well, a person could say it in an easier way, but let's say, what would he mean? He means, in other words, so let's put dates on it. Today is Tesvav Cheshvan. So if he says today, he's saying like this: if I sleep tomorrow, Teszayin Cheshvan, then retroactively I want that today that I should have been also to sleep. But if in the end I don't sleep on Teszayin Cheshvan, then there will have been no problem with me sleeping on this day. So now the question is, in other words, so can he sleep on Tesvav? In other words, let's consider what are the two possibilities. If he sleeps on Tesvav, then it would mean he would have to avoid sleeping on Teszayin. Otherwise, retroactively, it turns out that he's been over on his neder. On the other hand, if he sleeps on Tesvav and does not sleep on Teszayin, then there's no problem. He wasn't over on his neder because his neder was predicated on the condition that he'll sleep on Teszayin.
He hadn't slept yet for 2 nights.
We don't know however much he had slept before that. We don't know. But the point. From when he opened his mouth, he opened his mouth today, Tesvav Cheshvan. Right. So now he's saying, if I sleep tomorrow, then retroactively, I'm making a neder that today I should be also in sleeping. So now again, if he sleeps on Tesvav, then it means, so if he sleeps on Tesvav and he also sleeps on Teszayin, then he was over on his neder. But if he sleeps on only Tesvav and not Teszayin, or if he sleeps on only Teszayin and not Tesvav, then there's no problem. So now the question is, can he sleep on Tesvav? So
the neder was that in the next 2 nights, one of those nights, I'm not going
to
sleep.
Essentially, that's what it kind of amounts to. But he's not just saying one of the next 2 nights. I guess you could. I mean, you could phrase it that way, that he's saying, in effect, that I want to be able to sleep only one of these next 2 days, but not both. Right. But he phrased it in a way that there's the potential that now if he sleeps on the first day, it's possible for him to be, it becomes possible, that triggers the possibility of him ending up being over on his shiur if he also sleeps the next day. Right. So now the question is he allowed to sleep the first day? So we said, Rabbi Yehuda said that no, because what if he sleeps tomorrow? Then it comes out he was over on his neder. Whereas Rabbi Nachman said that no, let him sleep today. We're not concerned about that he might sleep the next day. Once he knows, I did sleep on the first day on Tesvav, now he'll be careful not to sleep on Teszayin in order not to be over on his neder. Tosfos refers to a Gemara in Gittin that says that what he could always do is he could take steps on Test Zion on the second day to actually keep himself awake. He can put like he can put a sharp thing there behind him so that if he starts falling asleep, then it'll prick him and it'll wake him up. Anyway, we said the flip side of it. What if it was what if the Tanai was the other way around? What if he says that if I sleep today, then the Issur will be on tomorrow? So here it's the same kind of thing. He doesn't want to sleep both days, but here the trigger is going to be the sleeping. Here the trigger is going to be him sleeping today. In the first case, the trigger is him sleeping tomorrow. Once he sleeps tomorrow, then retroactively, there's an Issur on today. Now, in the other case, you have if he sleeps today, then in the future, there's an Issur on tomorrow. Then Rabbi Yehuda has no problem with that. Let him sleep today, because that's going to be the actual. Then once he does the trigger, then he's going to be careful the next day on the actual neder. Rabbi Yehuda is concerned about the possibility that he may sleep on the day, in the previous case where it's today that's also and tomorrow that's the trigger for the condition. Then Rabbi Yehuda is concerned that he may sleep today and tomorrow he may forget that he actually did that. And he'll say, okay, so I'll trigger an Issur, big deal. It's only a trigger. It's not the actual Issur. And he may forget that he already slept today. But on the flip side, in the opposite case, where the Issur is on tomorrow and the trigger is today, then Rabbi Yehuda says we can assume he's going to be careful with that. So now we're up to the second line of Tesvav Amun Aleph. Now we're going to relate that to our Mishnah and see if our Mishnah prove, we're going to try to use our Mishnah as a contradiction against Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah, Koinam Shani Yoshin. So what we're going to go through half the Amud is going to be spent trying to set up the scenario. We're going to quote the Mishnah. We're going to understand exactly what the scenario is of the Mishnah. Once we finish setting that up and understanding what the words of the Mishnah mean, then we're going to see that seems to be a contradiction on Rabbi Yehuda. So Tanan, we learn in our Mishnah, we said Koinam Shani Yoshin. If he says a Koinam that I will sleep, meaning that in other words, he's saying that a sleep should be also as a Koinam, as a neder, Shani Mahalich, or that I should walk, Shani Medaber, or that I should sleep, Bechola. So the Gemara says, Heifi Dami. What exactly is the scenario that we would say that such a Tanai, what exactly is the Loshin that he used that would make it a valid neder? Ilei Mekitkatoni. Doesn't mean exactly what it sounds like, that he used the words Koinam Shani Yoshin. Well, the question is, mi have a nidra? Would that even be a nedir? Vatnan, or Vatanya, really, it's a braisa. Choyme b'shvuas, there is a chumra in shvuas. Oh, we learned this earlier, actually, in the previous parak. There was a chumra of shvuas over nedarim. Shash shvuas cholos al dover, a shvua can apply to something that has a tangible substance and that does not, mashenkin minadorim as opposed to nedarim. So we've mentioned a bunch of times so far in the Masechta that nedarim are basically an isur that is on the cheftza, on the object, and shvuas is an isur on the gavra, on the person. So a person can validly make a shvua, for example, I won't sleep, and that is a valid shvua. We'll see soon how long such a shvua can be in effect. But let's say a person says a shvua that I won't sleep today, that works. Sleep is an intangible thing. Doesn't matter. He's not asking to sleep. He's asking himself to sleep, and himself exists. As opposed to a neder, you can't do that. If you say a neder or a koinam, which is a lashon of neder, whatever, that I won't sleep, a koinam on sleep, it doesn't work. Sleep is not a tangible object. So you can't say koinam shani yoshin, a koinam on my sleeping. That's what shani yoshin means, a koinam on my sleeping. But his sleeping is not a tangible thing. So sleep is something intangible. A neder can't be chal on it. So
I just said intangible.
What?
Sleep is perfectly tangible and perfectly provable. I don't think that sleep is 100% tangible.
No.
You can
sleep is a person sleeping or not. Sleep is a concept. Sleep is a concept. It's not something that you can reach out. You can't reach out and touch sleep. You can touch a sleeping person.
It's a behavior.
It's a concept. It's not something that you can reach out and touch. Yeah.
No, it's a state of mind. It's not a behavior. It's a state of mind.
Okay, call it whatever you want. The point is, it's not something that you can actually touch. So therefore, it can't be considered.
Because you cannot touch it. It doesn't exist, and it's not
tangible.
Nobody
said it. Of course, you can't touch Hashem either. Chas v'shalom. We don't say that way. The point is, though, that a neder has to be on something sheyesh boi mamash, where there is substance to it. There is a tangible substance that you can feel and you can touch and you can point to and say, this object should be also to me. Sleep is not that kind of object.
Sleep is very tangible. If it has no substance,
let's talk about this later. It's tangible in the sense, of course, that a person has to sleep. But that's not what we mean by tangible over here. Dover sheyesh boi mamash means something that has a substance to it. You know, think of
tangible.
Think of it like this, Avraham Moshe. Is darkness something tangible? Normally not. But then we had in Mitzrayim, you had Makas Choshech over there, where the darkness was actually tangible, the Yomish Choshech. So that kind of darkness is a different kind than every other kind. That kind was tangible. A neder presumably could apply to it.
One second. Tangibility can be when you can start it and finish it.
That's not what tangibility means. But let's talk about that later, because we're getting too far off topic over here. A shvua relates to an action. So therefore, a shvua can perfectly well work on sleep. You can say sleep, you can say a shvua that I won't sleep, and that is a valid shvua. But you can't say sleep, you can't say sleep is also to me, and that should be a neder, because a neder has to be on something that you can actually touch and feel, and sleep is not that. So you want to talk about it? Let's talk about it later, but let's continue. So Ella d'Amar Koinam Eini B'Shena. So now, obviously, we have to understand then that the Mishnah does not mean that he actually uses the words Koinam Shani Yoshin, but rather that he says Koinam Eini B'Shena, a Koinam that my eye will be prohibited from sleeping. Well, his eye is something tangible. Therefore, such a neder can work. Now, the next question becomes then. Which means, by the way, the Ran adds the point. If we were to say that we could take the Mishnah literally, that he could say Koinam Shani Yoshin and it would work, then we could say the Mishnah is not talking about a Tanai at all. The Mishnah is just saying he's plain making a neder that sleep is also to him. And you would say that the neder is chal. But given that we find the neder is not chal, then we're on to the next stage. So we're obviously not talking about, he obviously gave the neder, he obviously made the neder in such a way using the word eini, and then we have to figure out the next stage is, how long did he make it also for himself for? So the idola yohib shiora, so the next question is, if when he made this neder, he did not put a time limit on it, he just said, koinam eini b'shena, and it's open-ended, well, mishav kinin le ad over iser bar yachol. How would we leave him until he's over on bal yachol? Now, there are two ways of explaining this among Rishonim. The Ran holds that we don't mean, now it's like this, we know there's an iser, we know there's an iser to make a shvuas shav. The Torah tells us, lois sisa shem Hashem alakecha lashav. So if a person makes a shvuas shav, then we give him malchus for it. The Ran says a neder is not like that. A neder, the Ran says, there's no actual iser to make a neder shav. However, mishav kinen lay literally means, do we let him go until he's over on iser bal yachol? So the Ran explains, doesn't mean do we let him make such a neder in the first place. There's no problem making such a neder in the first place, but practically speaking, eventually he is going to need to sleep, and he's not going to be able to keep that neder indefinitely, because within a couple of days he's going to have to sleep necessarily. So in other words, the Ran explains, the question really is, how can the neder be chal at all? For a neder to be chal, it has to be something that is possible to do, and to say an open-ended thing, my eye is not allowed to sleep, which constitutes a valid, on the face of it, it constitutes a valid neder because the eye is tangible. But on the other hand, given that you can't go without sleep forever, it's not a neder you're going to be able to fulfill indefinitely. So how can such a thing be considered a neder? That's according to the Ran. There's a toast. It's against nature, right? In fact, the interesting the Rebbe points out in a letter to somebody in connection, I think, with some sefer that the guy had written, where the Rebbe wrote notes on it. I don't remember what the connection was exactly, but anyway, there's a difference between, for example, a neder that a person says, "I won't eat." my mouth should be also from eating, let's say, versus a neder not to sleep. Because the difference is, let's talk, for example, about a shvuah to keep things simpler. Because a shvuah, a person can just say, I won't eat or I won't sleep, and such a thing is a valid neder. We said a shvuah doesn't have to be on something tangible. But if a person were to say a shvuah, I won't eat, yeah, eventually, if he doesn't eat, he's going to die of hunger. But it is possible for him to physically not eat. He'll just eventually die from it. As opposed to with sleep, it's physically impossible for a person to go more than a few days without sleep. Inevitably, he will fall asleep even if he can't help it. So according to the Ran, the Gemara's question is, that such a thing, he says the expression, Mishav Kinanlay, do we allow him to go until he's Oran Bal Yachal? Primarily, the Gemara is talking about that in terms of the shvua, because as we're going to say in a second, if a person makes an open-ended shvua not to sleep, then we're going to give him malchus for it. So therefore, even though with a neder, there's no iser according to the Ran to make such a neder, nevertheless, the question is, how can such a neder be chal in the first place? Now, there is a Tosfos elsewhere, which Gilui Nashas, Rabbi Akiva Eger, refers to over here, from Gittin, where Tosfos learns over there that in fact there is an Isser to make a Neder Shav. They say the same way as there's an Isser to make a Shavuos Shav, the same way there's an Isser to make a Neder Shav. And according to them, the Gemara's words over here, Mishav Kinnan, like Adda Ober Isser Bal Yachal, means pretty much exactly what it sounds like. How can we leave him be and tell him he won't get Malchus until inevitably he's over on Isser Bal Yachal by falling asleep? Such a neder is, to begin with, we should realize, is a neder shav. It's open-ended, and we should be giving him malchus for that. Just for making the neder. So because v'ha'amar Rabbi Yechanan, didn't Rabbi Yechanan say, shvua shal ishan shloisha yamim, if a person says a shvua that I won't sleep for 3 days, malkinosai, they give him malchus right away. They don't say, let's wait and see whether he can fulfill it, because we know it's physically impossible to fulfill it. V'yoshim la'alter, and then if he wants, he can sleep right away. Meaning, because here we're talking a shvua, no question, a person gets malchus for shvua shav, and he can sleep right away, because in other words, the shvua was never chal in the first place, because it's impossible to do. You have the interesting thing that it brings in the Gemara Sukkah, where it says over there that Rabbi Yeshua says that in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, during Sukkahs, they never got any sleep, because they're busy with the Avodah and the Beis Hamikdash during the day, and learning Torah, and davening, and Simchas Beis Hashem by night. And the Gemara says, what do you mean? You say over here, you can't go 3 days without sleep. And the answer is they would sort of catnap on each other's shoulders. They didn't actually have proper sleep. They never talked about them a number of times in Sichas of Simchas Beis Hashem over the years, and made the point. So we're saying, in other words, they didn't have the ta'am, Shana. They didn't have the taste of sleep. So in other words, a person can train themselves that, yes, they have to sleep, because as the Gemara is saying over here, it's physically necessary, but they don't need to have the taste of sleep as in something they enjoy. It's like something you have to do, because you have to do. The body requires it. What about Rabbi Malo?
Malo Shalom also. Like the Rebbe wouldn't sleep during Sukkot time, like a regular sleep, same thing
in the Malo. Sorry, also. So I think that's an interesting point, actually. I think there's an interesting point in that, because after all, we know it's not all minig to sleep in the Sukkah. On the other hand, the fact is, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're supposed to. So we don't do it because of Kabbalistic reasons, but it's very possible this stuff that you're saying, that the Rebbe didn't properly sleep during Sukkot, and neither did Rebbe Malo, could be based on that. Because on the one hand, they didn't want to actually be over on what it says in Shulchan Aruch. On the other hand, the fact is, the minig of Lubavitch is not to sleep in the Sukkah. So that was kind of their compromise. Interesting. Anyway, the point is, again, according to the Ran, the comparison is that given that we see that a person can't go with 3 days without sleep, then in the case of Shavua, that constitutes a Shavua Shav and he gets Malchus. In the case of a Neder, granted, he's not getting Malchus, but it's still impossible, so it shouldn't be Chal in the first place. And according to Tosfos, the vote is that it is in fact also to make a neder shav, and you would get malchus for it, and therefore the question is the same thing. Either way, the point is it's impossible to do. So again, we started by saying that our Mishnah says koinam shani yosh. We said it can't mean that because that's not a valid neder, because sleep is not something that a neder can be chal on. Then we said we're saying that it says koinam eini b'shena. Now obviously, so again, it can't be open-ended because then that would be impossible. And therefore, such a neder wouldn't be chal. And according to Tosfos over there in Gittin, he would even be getting malchus for it. Now, Mefoshim add over here. Now, the Gemara could easily answer, of course, that the case of the Mishnah, as he said, that koinam, my eye shouldn't sleep today. But in that case, there's no chiddush in it. Of course, the Mishnah wouldn't have to tell us that Bal Yachal applies to that. There's no chiddush in it. So obviously, the Mishnah is trying to teach us some kind of chiddush. So Ela de Omar, so we have to say that the Mishnah is giving us an example where he says, Koinam eini b'sheni l'machar im ishen hayon. Now, could it mean the second case that we talked about, where we said Rabbi Yehuda would, at the beginning of the sugya, where we said that Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora, would agree that in this case, he is allowed to sleep today. Namely, where he says that if I sleep today, then I'm also to sleep tomorrow. Well, the question is, Ha'amet kol be'isurim is there? You said there's no problem. Even Rabbi Yehuda has no problem with that because you say that when it comes to the isur, he'll be careful. Given that today sleeping is mutter to him either way, it's only the trigger for the neder that will be chal tomorrow if he sleeps today. Having slept today, he will then be careful about the isur tomorrow. So there's no problem with such a neder, and therefore again, there's no chiddush in it. Ela pshita. So obviously, by elimination, the Mishnah has to be talking about a case. The Mishnah has to be talking about the case the other way around. Where the case where Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nachman are arguing about, where he says a koinam that my eyes should be also to sleep today if I sleep tomorrow. So now the question is, so now the Mishnah would be telling us on the face of it, what does it mean? Hareza b'lo yachol dvaroi would mean he has to be careful to not sleep on the first day in order that he doesn't end up being oiran bal yachol. Because if he sleeps today and then tomorrow he ends up sleeping as well, then he will have been oiran his neder. So then in that case, if that's what the Mishnah is telling us, so we're saying the eloi naim hayoim, So now, if he doesn't sleep today, so then kinayim l'mocha mai ba yachol dvareka. Then if he sleeps tomorrow, there's no problem. He's not one who wasn't over on anything. El olav b'nayim. So obviously, the Mishnah has to be telling us that the case is that he did in fact sleep on the first day. And then we're saying that he was allowed to sleep. So on the face of it, we're saying that he was allowed to sleep on the first day. He is, in other words, the Mishnah would be telling us when it says Hareza b'lo yachol dvaroi, would tell us he is allowed to sleep today. Don't be concerned that conceivably he could become to bal yachol because we're not going to. We're going to say let him sleep today, and tomorrow he will have to be careful, as Rabbi Nachman said, that he'll have to put up over there a sharp object to prick him or something and keep him from falling asleep all the next day in order to not be over on his neder, in order to not be transgressing bal yachol. But in other words, the implication of the Mishnah sounds like if he wants to sleep on the first day, let him go ahead. We don't say don't sleep on the first day in order that you won't come to bal yachol. We're not gonna say that. And the Ran adds, if the Mishnah was in fact trying to tell us a case where it's mutter for him to do. The case, for example, if you're going to say the Mishnah is, so you could say, the Ran says, the Mishnah might be implying, let him go ahead and sleep on the first day and put himself in a suffix bal yachol. In other words, in the case where we said the other way around, where he says, if I sleep today, then I should be also to sleep tomorrow. Why don't we say, and we said, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that that's fine. Why don't we say the Mishnah is telling us that? And the reason is because then the Mishnah should, the Mishnah should be telling us that about the first case. After all, what do we have? We have two cases over here that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nachman are addressing. One of them, Rabbi Yehuda says the din should be one way and the other way. So it's obviously not so poshut, especially since Rabbi Nachman disagrees on the first one. So therefore, if you were going to say that the Mishnah is only talking about the second case, why would it ignore the first case altogether? It should tell us a din about it because it's not so poshut. The very fact that the Mishnah seems to be ignoring it can't be then that it's ignoring the first case and focusing on the second case. It has to be the Mishnah is focusing on the first case and telling us what the din is. He is in fact allowed to sleep on that first day, and we're not concerned that that means that now if he also sleeps tomorrow, he's going to be over on bal yachol. Rather, we say, go ahead and sleep today. Just tomorrow, be careful to not be over on bal yachol. Don't sleep tomorrow as well. Well, then, in that case, so if the Mishnah is telling us that, now that we understand what the Mishnah is talking about, so we see he is allowed to sleep on that first day. It literally means he is sleeping. And then this is the contradiction on Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, we said at the beginning of the sugya, he's not allowed to sleep today. because we said if he sleeps today and he also ends up sleeping tomorrow, he will have been over on his neder, because his neder was that if I sleep tomorrow, then retroactively today should be also to sleep. So the Gemara answers no. Kikotani de'inayim. No, the Mishnah is not necessarily saying that he's allowed to sleep. The Mishnah is saying if he slept, then he has a potential problem of bal yachid. So the Ran says, so on the contrary, when we say that when the Mishnah says hareza b'bal yachid, it means adrab, it means more like Rabbi Yehuda. Let him be careful not to sleep on that first day, because if he does, then he's closer to being over on bal yachid, because as Rabbi Yehuda says, the one that's only the tnai, he's not going to be so careful of, it's not going to occur to him on the next day, you know what, I slept yesterday, therefore if I'm over on my tnai today, retroactively I'm being over on bal yachid, he's going to think to himself, this is only a tnai, and a tnai is no big deal. It doesn't matter whether I trigger the neder or not, and he's going to forget that yesterday he already slept. So adarabah, we could, the wording of the Mishnah seems to go more according to Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, it's still not contradicting Rabbi Nachman, because Rabbi Nachman doesn't have to understand that the Mishnah is saying he's not allowed to sleep. But nevertheless, the point is it doesn't contradict Rabbi Yehuda, because it could be saying hareza b'lo yachol yorei, meaning he has to be careful on that first day not to put himself in a situation where potentially he might be oran b'al yachol yorei. Okay, that's one answer. The Gemara says, Ravina Omar, La'olam kidchatani. Ravina says, you know what? You don't have to say that, like this. The whole thing that brought us to this point was we said the Mishnah cannot possibly mean that Konam Shani Yoshin, because we said, again, sleep is not something that a neder is chal on. It had to be that he said, Konam, my eye won't sleep. Ravina says that, no, we could actually be talking about where he used the words of the Mishnah, Konam Shani Yoshin, Umay Bal Yachol Midrabbanan. So what do we mean? When we say bal yachol, means midrabbanan. Even though midaraisa, it's not a valid neder, because again, midaraisa, a neder has to be on something tangible, and sleep is not. But nevertheless, midrabbanan, given that he thought he was making a neder, and therefore, we talked about there are mafoshim. I think Rabbeinu Avraham in Ahor wants to say, like we learned in the Gemara yesterday, that maybe we're talking specifically about an amoritz over here. Maybe a tamid chacham we can expect will know that distinction, and therefore we're not going to impose it on him. But maybe an amoritz we would. But anyway, other mafoshim don't mention that distinction. But here you have, after all, saying koinam shani yoshin is not all that different than saying koinam eni b'shena. That difference is a very subtle difference that is likely to escape a lot of people. And therefore, midrabbanan, we're going to call it a valid neder. So the Mishnah is telling us midrabbanan, he shouldn't be over on it. What?
According to logic, you would say that it's midaraisa, it's a shvua, and midrabbanan, it's a neder. Is that what?
No, we would say midaraisa, it's not a shvua, because he didn't express it as a shvua. If he said, because he used the word koinam constitutes a neder. If he said shvua shani yoshin, or one of the other kinuyim of shvua that we learned in the first parak, then yes, but koinam is a kinuy for a neder, not a shvua.
We said
in the previous parak, koinam is a kinui for a neder. Either we said it comes from a goyish language where it means korban, so it means that he's being matzvis for korban, or it's a word that the chachamim made up that means korban. Whatever it is, saying koinam is a loshen of a neder, not a b'shvua.
Right. On the other hand, we also said that a shvua is on himself, and here he's doing a shvua on himself.
Yeah, but he's not. Since he used the word koinam, then it doesn't constitute a shvua. Just so to make a shvua, he would have had to say, for example, a shvua that I won't do such and such. Here, when he says koinam shani yoshin, so we're saying, so it's kind of a hybrid. It's the thing that it's talking about is something that a shvua could apply to, not a neder. But the word that he used, koinam, is a word of a neder, not a shvua. So you have something which is kind of neither here nor there. But midrabbanan, we're going to treat it as a full neder and require him to not be over on it. So the Gemara asks.
So the halacha.
Wait, one second.
Which you don't say koinam, it's never a shvua.
If you don't say koinam, it can be a shvua. If you say koinam, then it's a neder.
It's a nickname.
And koinam is a nickname
if
for a neder.
If you don't say koinam, but
the thing is, you also keep in mind in the Mishnah you also said shani yoshin. Now think of it, if a person just says shani yoshin, that would by itself, that would constitute a shavua that he will sleep. Shani yoshin means that I will sleep. konam shani yoshin means on the contrary, a konam, that my sleep is also to me like a konam, like a korban. So that's not a valid shavua either. If you were to say she'eni yoshin, that's the Ran points that out on the previous amud. If you were to say she'eni yoshin, that would constitute a valid shavua. Sure, because then he's saying that I won't sleep. But if he says koinam she'eni yoshin, it wouldn't make sense either. Because what do you mean? A koinam that the sleeping that I won't do is also to me. Then in that case, that means the sleep that I will do is not also to me. So it has to be. So if it's a shavua, he has to say she'eni yoshin, that I won't sleep. If he says shani yoshin, then it's nothing. And even if he says koinam she'ani yoshin, then also midaraisa, it's nothing. But again, Ravina is saying midarabonon, we are considering a shavua. All right, let's go on. So the Gemara asked, is there such a thing as bal yachol midrabbanan? Bal yachol is a mitzvah of the Torah, not to transgress your neder. How can we say that such a thing applies midrabbanan, where it's not a valid neder, darais? And the Gemara answers, ain. As a matter of fact, yes. V'hotanya, and here is a braisa that proves that point. A braisa says, dvorim amutorim, when you have things that are intrinsically mutter, al pi alocha, but you have other people are noyag and isur in those things. So we consider that a form of neder. You are not allowed to be matu such things in their presence. Because the pasuk says lo yachol dvarai. In other words, the point is, on the side over here, in my Gemara, there's a note here from the Rashash that says that the word dvarai can also mean the way he acts. So therefore, the standard Gemaras don't have it. I think it was something that was added in the Gerari Gemaras or whatever. No, over here you have little thing printed in my Gemara. It's printed a few lines above Pirush Rosh. Anyway, the vort is the word lo yachol dvorei. We're saying the word dvorei can mean the way he behaves. So in other words, say you have something. Now the poskim talk about there are various rules within that. It depends, first of all, whether these people, to a certain extent, it depends whether these people are Ame or Oret. It depends whether the thing that they're answering, is it that they actually have a reason, Api Alocha, to believe that it's Osir, or just that they're mistaken and they thought it's Osir, and really it's not. There's various dinim in that regard. But for example, the Gemara talks about it in Psachim. If you have, let's say, for example, in a place where now you have, let's say, for example, the Mishnah discusses in Psachim on Erev Pesach, in the afternoon, you're not allowed to do malacha for a few reasons. One of them being that's when the korban Pesach is brought. But in the morning, there were different minhagim. So suppose you come from a place where the minhag is to work on Erev Pesach morning, and you come to a place where the minhag is not to, then you're not allowed to do malacha in their presence. It's mutter al pi halacha. It's only the local minhag, but you have to respect the local minhag. So you're not allowed to publicly show in their presence that it's mutter. So therefore, as we see, even though that whole concept is only dinabanan, nevertheless, we still say lo yachol dvarei applies to it. So yes, you see that lo yachol dvarei can apply to things dinabanan. In this connection, by the way, the post can bring up the point that when we say in Ataras Nidorim on Erev Rosh Hashanah, that when you have an hoga toiva shenahakti shloisha pamim, the lo yisnesi shehebli neder, that it constitutes a neder. So you have, it actually depends. There can be a person does an hoga toiva even one time, and he specifically had in mind at the time that he plans to do it, that he plans to do it on an ongoing basis. Then, even before three times, it already constitutes a neder. But then you have certain kinds of anhogas, whereas as the nusach is over there, you need to do them three times, and then only then does it become a binding neder. But either way, it talks about in Shulchan Aruch, such things are considered binding nedarim, and you would need ataras nedarim for them. So if you have, let's say, for example, a person has the minhag, let's say, of what they won't eat on Pesach, or what they won't eat during the year, or that they will or won't do such things during the such and such things during the year, even though it started out only as a local minhag, nevertheless it becomes binding on the person or on the kehila, and if they want to be matur, they need ataras and darim. Anyway, the point is that yes. So therefore, Ravina's answer can work, that yes, we can say that even though the Mishnah says lo yachol dvarei, it means only dirabon. Okay, so the Gemara says, let's try to bring another proof against Rabbi Yehuda. Tnan, we learn in a Mishnah later on in our Masechta, another one of these cases of a neder that involves a tnan. Suppose a husband says to his wife, sha'at nenes li'ad ha-pesach, and he says koinam, we're leaving out the word koinam for simplicity's sake, but he makes a koinam, a neder, that you will not allowed to have hana from anything of mine until Pesach, im teuchi leves avich ad achad. If you go anytime between now and Sukkot, you go to your father's house. So he's standing, let's say, Rosh Chodesh Nissan, 2 weeks before Pesach, And he's saying, if any time between now and the and if any time between now and Sukkot you go to your father's house, then that is going to trigger a neder that you will be also to have hana from me between now and Pesach. So holcha lifnei Pesach. So now, if she goes to her father's house before Pesach, asur b'hana asad Pesach. Then indeed the neder has been triggered because before Pesach is between now and Sukkot. So therefore, she's also to have hana from him until Pesach. So now the implication, the Gemara says, is holcha lifnei Pesach asura. So what are we saying? Only because she went before Pesach is there a problem? Loi holcha loi, implying that if she did not go before Pesach, even though maybe she does go later on, then there's no problem of her having hana from her husband between now and Pesach. Now, this is a case similar to Rabbi Yehuda's case. This is a case similar to the case of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nachman with the sleep. Because what are we saying? If she were to go to her father's house in Iyar or Sivan or whatever, anytime until Sukkot, retroactively, it means that she shouldn't have had hana from him from Rosh Chodesh Nis until Pesach. And yet, the Mishnah seems to be implying that that's fine. So how would Rabbi Yehuda understand that? So the answer is, Omer Rabbi Abba says, no, that's not what the Mishnah means. It means, Hocha lifnei Pesach asura v'loika. It means that if she actually went before Pesach, not only is she also to have that hana, but there is going to be malchus involved. Because now you have, at that point, she went before Pesach, and now the neder was triggered. So now when she has hana between then and Pesach, then a neder is clearly being violated. So the question is, who gets the malchus? The Ran says that it means that she would get the malchus, because after all, she's the one who had hana. On the other hand, the Rambam, the Rambam understands that he's the one who gets malchus if he allows her to have that hana. She wouldn't get malchus, the Rambam says, because she didn't make the neder in the first place. Right. So you can't say lo yachol dvara. So the Ran writes over here, he says he disagrees with that and brings rayas from other Gemaras that it's not so, but that's how it is. You have machlokes between the Ran and the Rambam on that point. So that would be the case if she went before Pesach, because in other words, by the time once she goes, the neder is triggered. So therefore, as soon as now, if she goes to her father's house, on Beis Nissen, and then on Gimel Nissen, she has hana from her husband, then a neder has clearly been violated because the neder has already been triggered. But the Mishnah is not implying that if she didn't go till after Pesach, then retroactively she would have been mutter to have hana. Loi holcha asura b'alma. If she didn't go before Pesach, she still is also to have that hana until Pesach because the neder might be triggered. But you can't say that she should be chayav malchus for it because at the time it wasn't yet also. The trigger hadn't happened yet. He's the one who made the neder. That is why, according to the Rambam, if now he violates that by allowing her to have hana from his possession, then he will be the one getting malchus. According to the Ran, we're saying that she would be the one getting malchus because she's, after all, the one who received that hana. So that's the thing. The Ran says, the Rambam would hold, she can't possibly be getting malchus. Why should she? She didn't say anything.
But when you say she got the hana, we're talking about hana that she went to her father's.
No, the hana that she received something from her husband. She received from him money or food or presents or what have you. The neder was that if she goes anytime between now and Sukkot, she will be also from now until Pesach from having hana from her husband. That's what I'm saying. He made the neder, let's say, Rosh Chodesh Nissen. So he's saying, if anytime during the next 6.5 months you go to your father's house, then the result is the neder is going to be that hana is of mine is also to you between now and Pesach for the next 2 weeks.
The hana that
she may get from him, any food he might give her, any clothing he might give her, any whatever. Yeah. We need to get going, so let's go on.
But yeah, but I mean, other people are asking questions, so I can ask questions too.
I know, but we also can't give too much time to questions, you know. You're asking about Hanoah of Tashmish.
No, and Tashmish mean the same thing.
And no, Tashmish is a type of Hanoah. We're going to talk about that on Omer Beis, but as long as we can get there. But you know what, if there's something you don't understand right now, then fine, let's deal with it. But otherwise, if it's a side thing, then let's leave it for later, please.
Nobody should ask questions then.
No, that's not what I'm saying. Everybody. That's not what I'm saying, Avraham Moshe, and you know that. Come on. If you have it, fine. If there's something you don't understand, if something that you need for the flow of the Gemara.
No, it's not about understanding. I'm just having a question. We said previously that someone cannot make a neder for another person, and it seems to be
nobody said you can't make a neder for another person. I can answer my hana to you. I can't say, for example, a neder that you shouldn't be allowed to that you, Shimon, should not be allowed to have hana from Levi. Of course, such a neder is ineffective. But I can perfectly well say that you, Shimon, should not have hana from my Reuven the Chosim. Sure, that's a perfectly valid neder.
That if that's the case, why is another person getting malchus?
Again, according to the Ran, she received that Hanah. She shouldn't have received that Hanah, knowing that there's a neder involved. Therefore, now she's getting malchus. According to the Rambam, the fact that he gave her, that he allowed her to have that Hanah, and he's the one who made the neder, he's going to be the one who gets malchus. Anyway, the point is, what the Gemara is establishing. The point is, one second. The point is, what the Gemara is establishing is that in the case where she did not go before Pesach, which is what we're trying to deal with over here, then in fact, the fact is, she is retroactively also to have had Hana during that time. She should be not be having Hana those 2 weeks in case she might go between now and Sukkot, but nevertheless, there won't be any Malchus involved because the Neder has not been triggered yet. So therefore, so that's not a contradiction against Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Ema Sefer. Well, if that's how you understand it, look at the next part of the Mishnah. It continues, Achar HaPesach B'Val Yachol Dvarai. The Mishnah continues that after Pesach, there is Bal Yachol Dvarai involved. So the Idla is Hani Lifnam Pesach. So now if she never had any Hanah before Pesach, Mi'ika Bal Yachol, how could there be any Bal Yachol? At that point, the 2 weeks have passed. She didn't have any Hanah from her husband during that time. So now, no matter what happens, whether she goes to her father's house between now and Sukkot or not, there's no Bal Yachol to be over on anymore because the period covered by the Neder is over. So obviously you have to be talking about where she did have Hanah and was saying that there was Bal Yachol involved. Alma Mishani. So doesn't that mean that she's allowed to have Hanah during that time? And then it would be a contradiction on Rabbi Yehuda. Because again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we would say she should not be allowed to have Hanah during that time in case the Neder is triggered later on. Exactly the same way as Rabbi Yehuda said before, that a person is not allowed to sleep today because he might trigger his Neder tomorrow and he might be careless with the trigger. In exactly the same way, Rabbi Yehuda should say, the Mishnah should be telling us that she's not allowed to have Hanah between Rosh Chodesh Nissan and Pesach in case the Neder is triggered later by her going to her father's house anytime between the end of Pesach and Sukkot, and nevertheless, the Mishnah seems to be implying that she is able to have Hanah during that time. Otherwise, there's no Bal Yachol to talk about. So the Gemara answer is similar to what we said before about if he fell asleep. Kikotani de'i ishani hareza Bal Yachol bari. All the Mishnah means is that if she had Hanah during that time, that she would end up being over on Bal Yachol. So it would mean the same thing as we said before, that she needs to be careful during those 2 weeks not to have Hanah from her husband in order that there doesn't end up being retroactively a matter of Bal Yachol. She won't get Malchus for it, granted, or he won't get Malchus, as the case may be, because at the time that they were over on it, the Neder hadn't been triggered yet. When she had Hanah between now and Pesach, the Neder hadn't been triggered yet. Nevertheless, though, there still is the Isser, and then, which is what Rabbi Yehuda was saying at the beginning of the Sogya, there was an Isser, even if there's not Malchus involved, and therefore she shouldn't. But if she did, then she has to be very careful that if she did, then she has to be very careful now after Pesach, or from now until after Sukkot, to not go to her father's house in order that it doesn't come out that retroactively she was over on a net. He said the Neder in her presence, right? Yeah. It doesn't even have to be, by the way, again, when it comes to a neder like that, to say that I'm asking you in my possession, it doesn't require the other person's agreement. If I say you are also in my nechosim, if I say a koinam that my nechosim are also to you, it doesn't matter whether you agree or not. The neder is still chal because they're my possessions.
But you have to be within sound.
Well, if they don't know of it, they don't know of it, obviously. So yeah, we have to be talking about that she knew of it. Yeah. Okay. Now let's look at another part of that Mishnah and see the other way around. The Mishnah then presents the other way around. Here we have the other way around. He says to his wife, the neder is, the period of Issur is from now until Sukkot. If you go to your father's house between now and Pesach. So now it's the opposite of the previous case. He's saying the time when I don't want you to go to your father's house is between now and Pesach. Meaning, let's say again, Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So if you go to your father's house anytime in the next 2 weeks, the result is that you are going to be also in Hanah from me from now until Sukkot. So now it's the other way around. Before the neder was only on the 2 weeks from now until Pesach, and the condition stretched out over six and a half months. Now it's the other way around. The condition is 2 weeks, and the neder and the time of the iser stretches out over several months. So the Mishnah says, "Holcha lifnei Pesach." So if indeed she goes before Pesach, asura b'hanasa ad achad, then she is allowed. Then she is osur and hana until Sukkot, because that then the neder was triggered. Umotenas leilach achar Pesach. But the Mishnah says then that she's allowed to go to her father's house after Pesach. In other words, the Ran says the chiddush of that is we don't say that at that point she may forget that she was over on her tanai and that she was over on her tanai before Pesach. And now if we allow her to go after Pesach, then she is then she may have that she may end up having hana from her husband when she's supposed to. So maybe we should ask her to go midirabbanan. So no, we don't say that. So muteres levachachar Pesach. Now holcha asura. So the implication again seems to be only if she went before Pesach is she also to have that hana until Sukkot. Loy holcha loy. But if she didn't, then not. So if she didn't go, so we don't say again that if she doesn't go before Pesach, then she shouldn't have had hana from Rosh Chodesh until Pesach because she might go. So again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we should say that still during those 2 weeks, she shouldn't be having hana from her husband regardless, because conceivably she might end up going during those 2 weeks and triggering it. So Amar Rava, so Rava answers, no, who adin dafilu lai holcha asura. The fact is, similar to what we said before, even if she didn't go during those 2 weeks, she still is going to be osur in the hana. The difference is, holcha asura v'loika, if she went during those 2 weeks, then not only osur, but there's malchus involved. Again, malchus for her or for him, depending whether we go according to the Ran or the Rambam. Loi holcha asura v'alma, but if she didn't go before Pesach, then there's an issur involved, but there's no malchus, involved. Because again, if she didn't go yet, there's still the concern she might go before Pesach and trigger it. But as long as she hasn't yet gone, then she shouldn't be having hana from her husband during that time. So in other words, the neder was made Rosh Chodesh. So now let's say on Rosh Chodesh and on Beis and on Gimel, she should not be having that hana in case on Dal or on Hay or on Vav she might end up going. But if she actually went on Beis, then she's also the now on Gimel, of course, it's already been triggered, and then there's Malchus involved if she did. But if she didn't yet go, she still shouldn't be having Hana from on Rosh Chodesh and on Beis and on Gimel in case she might go on Dalet. But we can't yet say that there's Malchus involved because it hasn't been triggered yet. So therefore, again, that Mishnah is no contradiction to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said in Or Sugya, by the same token, you shouldn't sleep today in case the neder is triggered tomorrow. Well, that's exactly our scenario. Okay, the Gemara says, Mace, we have another contradiction against Rabbi Yehuda. A Braisa says, Kikozu alai hayoim in elech lamakim ploini lamacher. If the person says, this bread should be also to me, olai, it should be upon me, and of course he used either that would be an example of a yad. When he says kikozu olai, it means that it is like, it is on me like a korban. We fill in the word olai korban or something to that effect.
Makes it more stronger.
Well, no, and we said that you don't need hatfasa, but it is a valid way of making a neder. Or maybe even the primary way of making a neder would be with a hatfasa. If you don't use hatfasa, then you have a yad. Either way, the point is a yad, as we learned in the previous parak, is a fully valid neder. So once he says kikor zu alai hayoim, so he says this bread is on me, meaning that it's also to me today. Im elech lamakim pleni lamacher. If I go to such and such a place tomorrow. So then, so the Braisa says, if he eats that bread, then he has an issur not to go. So now, on the face of it, we assume that it means that he is allowed to eat the bread. But then, if he does, he's not allowed to go tomorrow to that place, so as not to trigger the neder. But the Gemara says no. Mi katani oichel. Does it say oichel, which would mean he is allowed to eat it? Ochal katani, it means if he ate it. The ki ochal harezer b'val yelach. That if he eats it, now he has the thing. He's not allowed to go in order not to trigger the net. So in other words, the Ran has a long explanation over here. That the point is the Braisa is not the Braise is focusing, we thought at first that the Braise is focusing on what kind of things are also for him to do. The Braise should tell us it's also for him to eat. And the answer is the Braise is not really the Braise is. It says ochal, that itself implies that only b'dieved, if he ate it, then we should talk about. But hatchila, he shouldn't be eating it in the first place. But the Gemara says, okay, what about the next part of the Braise? It continues, holach, if he ends up going the next day to that place, hareza b'val yachol b'varay, then there is b'val yachol involved, because meanwhile, previously he ate the bread. So again, mahalach loy. So the Braise is not saying the Braise is not saying that he is allowed to go. The kasha of Rabbi Yehuda. So the kasha is on the kasha is on Rabbi Yehuda. According to in other words, that so we're saying holach only if he went b'dieved. So it sounds like when it came to eating the bread, fine, let him eat the bread. Now, if he goes today, hareza b'val yachol. Therefore, we don't tell him you're allowed to go today. If he went today, then he's over on b'val yachol. But now, obviously, if he didn't eat the bread yesterday, there's no problem with him going because there's no neder to be triggered. So the very fact that the Mishnah is saying the word holach, the Braise rather, is saying the word holach, seems to imply that we're talking about he already ate the bread, and now we're saying that b'di'eved, if he goes and walks to that place, then he's over on bal yafel. Mahalach loy, we're saying we don't allow him to begin with. The kasha l'Rabbi Yehuda. So the kasha is on Rabbi Yehuda because all of that case would have to be where he already ate the bread. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he had no business eating the bread in the first place. The Braise should be stressing that point, that he's not allowed to eat the bread. Triggering is going to be by going the next day. But now, right, I mean, without the eating, then the going wouldn't be the problem, right? The answer is Omalach Rabbi Yehuda. The answer is Rabbi Yehuda can answer you. Hu adin delisni mahalach. The answer is that no, the Braise could have used the word mahalach, that he is allowed to go. In other words, the Braise could be implying that we wouldn't allow him to eat the bread yesterday because we're telling him potentially you could end up being over on Bal Yachol. Therefore, today there's no problem with him going to this place because there's no neder to be triggered because he never ate the bread anyway. So it could have said mahalach. I did the katani resha ochal dole misni lai oichal, but since in the beginning of the Mishnah it used the word ochal and it had to use the word ochal there, it can't use the word oichal that he's allowed to eat it, because according to Rabbi Yehuda he's not allowed to eat it. Tony sefer holach, then therefore the sefer also uses the word holach b'dieved, even though in fact since he didn't eat it the previous day, then there's no problem with him going today. As usual, we want the language of the Reisha and the Sefer, the Reisha and the Sefer to match, right? The Ran has some discussion of the details of all of this. And if you're going to say that the holach is referring to the case that where he already ate the bread, then what's the chiddush? Of course, there's bal yachol involved. And the chiddush is, he says, you would think that since when he ate it, he wasn't over, maybe even when he went, maybe now, you wouldn't say bal yachol applies to mafreya, and the Braise needs to tell us that bal yachol can apply to mafreya. Without the Braise, we wouldn't have known of such a concept. And then, therefore, we're saying that it applies. He also discusses the point. What are we talking about? Are we talking about that when he ate it, he remembered that there is walking involved is going to trigger that this is going to be usur, and vice versa. When he walks tomorrow, there's a remembrance that he ate it yesterday. Or what we're talking about is the possibility of maybe that he forgot. If he forgot, then we have something we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about in the next paragraph. We're going to talk about nidrei oinsin, where a person forgot something. Where there, that's not necessarily something where a person is over on a neder. When we talk about being over on a neder, means he knows that he did such and such, and that therefore this triggers this neder or whatever. Not necessarily when he forgot that he had ever done this in the first place. To finish up the Gemara, we said that if the husband says to his wife, that my tashmish with you, and bal yachol applies as well. So again, so besides the question that we said before, that tashmish is not a tangible object, where therefore, in other words, he would have to use a loshen that implies, for example, my goof is also in tashmish to you. But we have a better question. Doesn't the husband have a shibud to his wife midaraisa to have relations with her? As we it says in the Pasuk, we learned about this in Ksuvos, the Pasuk says, She'er Ksus of Oina Sala Yigra. He's not allowed to diminish who She'er Ksus and Oina. And we had in Ksuvos two possibilities, that She'er, we said Oina, we said Ksus means clothing, definitely. We said either She'er means food and Oina means the regular Oina of having relations, or the other way around, She'er meant the physical skin-to-skin contact that you have during Tashmish, and Oinosa meant food. Anyway, the point is that those three things he's meshubat to her. So how can his neder to say that his Tashmish that he's not going to have Tashmish with her? How could such a neder have effect? Which in fact, the Ran points out, we did learn in Ksubas that a hekdish, which a koinam, a neder, is a form of hekdish, actually overrides a shibud. But the answer is, the Ran says, we said over there that there are cases where we say that the husband's shibud is strong enough to override even that. The same way, the wife's shibud, that her husband is meshubad to her, for sheir ksus v'ayna, overrides any koinam that he could make. So the answer is, the neder, he says, is the hana of your tashmish should be also to me. So the one asks, then bayachal dvara applies. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? What hana? V'ha loikon nichalei b'tashmish. After all, he doesn't, and that's not a question, rather. V'ha loikon nichalei b'tashmish. So in this case, we're saying that he doesn't want, so he's able to aso that hana on him, and therefore that becomes a valid neder. The Omer of Kahana, Tashmishi Olayich, because we have, Rav Kahana says, if the wife says to her husband, a koinam, that my Tashmish should be also to you, koifinoisa om shamashta, then we still tell her, we still compel her, and we tell her you're required to be available for your husband for Tashmish, and you can't aso it to her husband. You can't answer it to your husband. But if she says, Hanos Tashmisha Chalai, but if she Deshabudim Shabbaslay, the reason is because again, she has a shibud to the husband. Just as much as the husband has a shibud to the wife, that he should have regular owner, she has a shibud to her husband for the same kind of thing.
What is she not allowed
to? So 1 second, Hanos Tashmisha Chalai, but if she says the Hana of your Tashmish should be also to me, that also, that kind of neder is also and can be chal, the husband can be made for it, because Dvorim Shabena Labena, it's something that affects their marital relationship, but it is a valid neder. Otherwise, She'en Machilin Lay La'odim Dover. We can't force feed a person something which is also to him. In other words, once she says, or in the case of our Mishnah, once the husband says, the hana of the tashmish with you is also to me, then already we're saying that, in effect, they're not saying the tashmish itself is also, they're saying the hana of it is also, but you can't force a person to have a hana from something which is also to them. So the result is, therefore, no tashmish can take place because they are going to have hana. The Ran, by the way, refers to the fact that we say mitzvah slav lahonis. But he says that means, in other words, for example, let's say a person takes a lulav, which otherwise would have been also to him. We said that picking up the lulav is not considered a hana. He's accomplishing a mitzvah, that's not considered a hana. But there is, there can be physical hana when you do a mitzvah. In this case, yes, there is a mitzvah to have tashmish, but the fact is there is physical hana involved, and he's asked that hana to himself. Obviously, again, he'd have to be using a proper expression, because again, hana is not a tangible object, but fine. He'd have to be saying the hana of the hana. You know, you'd have to be saying, for example, that the hana that I get from your body doing tashmish would be also to me or something to that effect, whatever. Anyway, the point is that such a thing is a valid neder. So that's what we're talking about in the Mishnah, is that when he says koinam she'eni mishamshich, he doesn't mean a koinam that I refuse to have tashmish with you. Then we'd say his shibud to her overrides that. But when he says the hana of tashmish with you is also to me, then we're saying such a neder can be chal. Because we can't force a person to have a hana, which is also to them. So that's it. So in fact, the Ran points out. We said that the nedarim of our Mishnah, according to Ravina, were actually only drabbanan. What we're saying, so over here also, even if he doesn't use a proper expression that would constitute a real neder d'araisa, still it includes a neder d'rabbanon, but still, then we know the chachamim are able to take away a mitzvah of the Torah with shev val tase. Here it's not an active thing where we're telling him to go violate something of the Torah. It's a passive thing where he made a neder and the chachamim are saying this is considered a valid neder even though it's d'araisa, it's not. So even though it ends up overriding the mitzvah of the Torah, period, nevertheless, it still can be chal. even if he doesn't say a loshen, even if he says hanas tashmish halai, where hana is not a tangible thing, and therefore it's only a neder de rabbanan. So in other words, if it was something with midrabanan, where it required us to violate something minatoda, we can't do that. But where it's a shev val tasa, we learned back in Yevamos some time back that the chachamim have the right to make such takonas and zeris, and this would be an example of that. The chachamim would be saying that. The Chachamim would be telling us that even though this neder is not valid daraisa, because daraisa, a neder needs to be on a tangible object, midrabanan, as Ravina said on Amud Aleph, a neder can be chal, even if you didn't use the proper loshen of nedarim. You said, for example, koinim shani yoshin, or koinim shani mishamshech, and that works, though not necessarily to be exact. He didn't say koinim shani mishamshech. Again, he said the hanah of it is also as a koinim. And then we say such a neder will, in fact, have to be chal midrabanan. It means that it's overriding a din min haTorah. That's the way some dinim d'rabbanan work. So that's that. As far as the previous discussion between Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda, the Ran points out, since the Gemara has spent the whole sugya asking on Rav Yehuda and explaining the Mishnayos and the Braises according to him, that implies the halacha is like him. And indeed, the halacha is like him. So if you have a case involving a tanai like that, so for example, the person says, that I'm also to sleep today. If I sleep tomorrow, then yes, we don't allow him to sleep today. If he did sleep today, then he has to be careful not to sleep tomorrow. But we try to prevent him from sleeping today in order that there should never be a neder in the first place to potentially be triggered tomorrow.
Now, is there punishment either way if you make these things to prevent them from happening? If it's a
obviously
Malchus, you always get
no. So Malchus is only going to be gotten. Malchus is going to be gotten only if there was an actual neder that he was over on. So that's the thing. What we're saying in the Gemara over here is if when he did the action, the neder was not in effect yet because the trigger happens only later, like in the case where the Nachman and Rabbi Yehuda are arguing on, Malchus was saying there wouldn't be able to be because at the time when he did it, then the neder wasn't in effect yet. The truth is, there are actually Gemaras in other places in Shas that talk about the concept of Hasra Sofik. Can we give a person Hasra from Malchus on something where we don't know yet whether the thing is going to be Usir? Also, it's going to depend on something that happens later on. I think the halacha is that you could, in which case, maybe indeed there would be Malchus in these cases. But at any rate, even if we say not, we're saying Rabbi Yehuda would say there's an Isser involved. Rabbi Nachman would say there's not even an Isser involved to sleep today. Because once you slept today, then you're going to be careful with your Tanai tomorrow. And Rabbi Yehuda says that now. Shkayach, everyone.
If this pitch.